Hey there, it is Jill Monroe of JacksonStilettoJill.com along with Robert Latow of Black Sports Online, and you've just entered the break room. Sorry we missed you last week, but I know you caught up with our Super Bowl show. This week, we're going to talk about all the drama with Marcus Smart of Oklahoma State, Michael Sam, of course, and Paul George. But before we even get started, we have to say thank you. The break room is up to over 17,000 views. We have over 500 subscribers, and we appreciate you guys. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Right, Rob? So let's get into it. We're going to start off with a story from last week. Paul George, the Indiana Pacers star, budding superstar, allegedly got a Miami stripper pregnant named Daniela, who used to work at Tootsie's, and supposedly offered her $1 million to terminate the pregnancy. So,
First off, Jill, listen, before we even get into that, we got to make sure that we let the people know and understand where this story came from. There's a lot of impersonators, a lot of people trying to take, you know, other people's shine. The fact of the matter is this story was originated not on TMZ, not on ESPN, not on USA Today, not on all of these other blogs. It originated on Jocks and Stiletto Jill. She was the first one to come out with this information. It was exclusive information that Paul George himself confirmed. So let's make sure that you get the credit for that, and you tell us about what's going on with the story.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. That's why you guys got to make sure you check out JacksonStilettoJill.com and Black Sports Online, because we always are getting you the inside scoop. So basically, last summer, Paul George met a girl named Daniela in Miami, and, you know, they were friendly, casually, during the summer. And in November, Daniela let him know that she is with child. Now, of course, he's going to want a paternity test. In the reality, he could get a paternity test now, but I guess it's the season. He doesn't have time for that. He can just wait it out. But she let him know that she was expecting a baby and that he was the father, per her. So fast forward to, you know, I was told by sources that he offered her $1 million not to have the baby because, you know, that's not actually the kind of situation you maybe want to bring a child into, a casual situation. But she declined. She's expecting a little girl. She is about 7 months, so she should be due in like late March, early April. And that's all we have for right now. George has since spoken out and said that when it's confirmed legally that he is the father, he will, you know, stand up and be a father for the child. So I don't know if you have anything else to add to this, Rob.
Well, here's the thing. First off, you know, we're gonna take this slow for the fellas. See, it's for the fellas out here. Now, let's listen to me. You go to Walgreens, right next to where they have the chapstick, and they have a whole aisle of condoms. And you know, those condoms are less than $10. I mean, I'm not saying you gotta get the cheap ones that are like $1 or $1.50 from the gas station. You wanna get something with some quality, you know, but they're less than $10. You can go to Sam's, you know, Sam's or Costco, I don't know if it's Costco out in Cali, you know, get a whole box if you're a big pimp like that. Whole box, like, you know, a 50-pack. You know, 50-pack for like $29.99. And then you don't have to worry about, you know, your millions or in someone's, like my case, your $10, you know, being taken, you know, by someone else. You know, there's a responsibility. You know, a lot of people get on the girl, Jill. A lot of people get on, oh, she's a stripper or she's a groupie and so on and so forth. But here's the thing. You know, as the man, you have an opportunity. It's your equipment that you're working with, and there are ways to make sure.
And your millions that are at stake. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, it's a lot of money at stake. So it's your equipment. We are in control of our equipment. You got to let this top head work a little bit more for you than your bottom head, because your bottom head doesn't write the checks. The top head is what write the checks out. So if you don't want your money going to someone else, and you're already dating, you know, Doc Rivers, you know, daughter, and don't want it to get all messy, right next to the chapstick, you get your condoms. I got, you know, Walgreens, I got the little thing where you can scan it. They give you $2 off. If you need that, you come to me, and I will let you use my coupon, because I don't want this to happen. I'm tired of these stories, Jill. I'm just tired of it.
All right. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Paul and Callie Rivers started dating after his situation with the stripper. But anyway, next story, over the weekend, big story, Marcus Smart of Oklahoma State, during a game, he was going for an out-of-bounds play, a play that ended up out of bounds. Anyway, he fell, and there was a fan that was there that allegedly said a derogatory remark to him. Now, there's been a back and forth about what the fan actually said. The fan claims that he called him a piece of crap. Marcus Smart actually said that he said called him the N-word, or maybe said go back to Africa, something. There's been varied stories. All we know is that something was said, Marcus Smart reacted and pushed the fan. So, I mean, what do you think about this? Do you think that Smart was in the right? Do you think that it's fair that a lot of these, you know, people that have these courtside and close seats are always badgering the players with profanity and name-calling and go largely unchecked?
Well, see, you know, it's very easy to sit from our couches or our chairs while we're watching a game and say, hey, you know, the kid shouldn't react like that. He shouldn't push. He shouldn't go into the stands. But, you know, unless you've been in that heat of the battle, and, you know, that was a very hotly contested game, you know, on the road, he's playing his heart out, and then he sees this grown man, you know, calling him something inappropriate. We know it was inappropriate. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know it was inappropriate, and he reacted. You know, he's 19 years old. You know, when I was 19 years old, I reacted to a lot of things that at my age now that maybe I wouldn't react to. So I think, you know, while you don't want that to happen, you never want any type of fan-athlete interaction, you know, in a negative way, we need to understand who started the interaction. You know, was it Marcus Smart or was it the fan? And it was the fan. If the fan was acting like an adult, I mean, he's 50-something years old. He's a 50-year-old man calling a kid a piece of crap. You know, who really is more responsible? And in my opinion, it's the fans. They've gotten out of control on social media. They've gotten out of control in the stands. There's constant fighting between fans in arenas and stadiums, sometimes leading to death. It's like a reality. It's like they're in a fantasy world. It's like the Matrix. It's like Warcraft. It's like they are either miserable with themselves or they don't like their own life, and they're taking it out on these athletes. And, you know, the athletes are there for entertainment. They're there to play a game. You know, they're not there to be treated, you know, like subhumans, regardless if you're jealous, upset, mad, or just want to retweet or whatever it is. I think it's just gotten out of control.
I think so, too. And I think with, you know, social media, because you can reach out and touch them, and a lot of people have resent because of even the potential earnings, because we're talking about college games here, you know, the idea is that sometimes fans just take it too far because they feel that they have a right to. But we're going to leave Marcus Smart there and go into another college sort of controversy. The SEC Player of the Year, Michael Sam of the University of Missouri, has recently, Sunday, come out. I can't say he was in the closet because he actually announced to his team last August that he's gay. He said that he's African American, he's a college graduate, and he's a gay man. He's an NFL prospect projected to go in the third or fourth round. Some of the knocks against him have been he's a tweener, not really sure if he is where his position will really transition once he hits the NFL. But there's been a lot of controversy as into how the locker rooms are going to react to this. There's even been some anonymous GMs that have come out and stated that it is going to be a problem for various reasons. Why don't you talk about that and share your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, I understand why it's a big deal, because anytime an athlete or entertainer comes out and says that they're gay, you know, it becomes a big deal. And the reason that it becomes a big deal, because, you know, the media makes it into a big deal. You know, there's always going to be a portion of society that, you know, are going to frown upon that, you know, just like they're going to frown upon, you know, black men, you know, or they're going to frown upon, you know, women doing certain things. You know, if you're gay, you know, you're going to have to deal with some backlash, you know. But I honestly believe that, you know, when it comes down to the NFL or comes down to any type of sport, if you can play, then you're going to be okay. You know, if you can't play, you can't use being gay, you know, as a crutch. You know, I actually think it's going to have the opposite effect on him. He's on the cover of SI now. People that didn't even know his name before, of course, knows his name. And I think he got like over 100,000 Twitter followers in 24 hours. So, you know, there's going to be some backlash, but the positive aspects of it is probably going to help him more than the negative, you know, backlash. Now, the question is, honestly, can he play? You know, you listen to GMs, some of them say, yeah, you know, he's a second, third, fourth rounder. Others say he's a second day guy. Other people think he's an undrafted free agent. This was before he announced that he was gay. So now you have this like this weird kind of spectrum where the team that doesn't draft him or the team that does draft him, people are going to say, well, why? Are you not drafting him because he's gay, or are you not drafting him because you don't think he can rush the quarterback? Now, like I said, it's my opinion, if you and I or my dog Ellie or Terrio can rush the quarterback, they wouldn't care if we like men, women, animals, they would draft us. So I think it's going to be a big story, just the same way Manti Te'o was a big story. But in the end, it's going to, well, the number one thing that's going to matter is, can he play? And once the games actually start, just like with Te'o, you're going to see this die down a whole lot.
I mean, I agree with you. I also think that the whole thing about the locker room and how the guys, I know that there's been some talk, Jonathan Vilma, for example, used the example of being in the shower. There are some guys that are going to feel like, hey, I'm in the shower, my goods are out, and you like, you know, you like men like me. You may not like me, but you like men like me. So it could be uncomfortable for them. But I think that that is part of the process, too, being able to vocalize those feelings. Because this, even though I believe that, you know, no matter what the sport, NBA, NFL, hockey, baseball, there's been players, obviously, that were gay that played the sport. And I believe even sometimes teammates knew or suspected. And like you said, it all that matters is what goes on once they, you know, take the field and how that person plays. But I also think that the gay community has to be sensitive to the fact that this is new territory, it's new ground, and so everything is new and people are going to have questions. And they should have the openness to have those questions and have that dialogue so that it so that it becomes normal. Because there's an understanding level that has to be established between these, you know, different entities, even though it's something that's always been there. I mean, I think that there's always situations where, like, you know, some players are highly religious, you know, married, that don't approve of what their single players do, or even their other married teammates do, and, you know, things of that nature. So there's always things where people may not agree with the lifestyle, but there are questions. And I think that once you're able to open up that dialogue and sort of address those things, it'll make things better in the long run.
And I think that's exactly what's going to happen right at the beginning. I think that's what's going to be, you know, addressed. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's insecurity, ignorance, and stuff like that. You know, just like every girl doesn't want every football player. I doubt every gay man wants every football player that's in a shower or a locker room, you know. And honestly, you know, showers, it's weird to me. You know, like, you know, you would think by now with all the money that the NFL and NBA makes, they can get some separate stalls. You know, it's not prison, for God's sake. You know, get some privacy. Why do they still have the communal showers? They make $10 billion a year. You can think you get some private bathrooms in these multi-billion dollar stadiums. I bet you the Cowboys got separate stalls. You know,
it's bonding. It's bonding. You know, they talk trash in the shower. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on to our question part of the broadcast of the show. Rob, do you want to take over from here?
Yes, we do have a question. Actually, this question comes from our YouTube page. You know, when we did our Super Bowl episode, you know, I talked about how I was, you know, with the people in the mass transit of New York City. And Jill said she had her private Farnsworth Bentley driver. And the people wanted to
know. Not what I said.
They wanted to know, you know, Jill, you know, next time that you come to New York, you know, is it possible that you would actually, you know, take the subway somewhere?
Look, I've been on the subway before. I am not opposed to it, but let's break down the scenario. Super Bowl weekend in New York during the polar vortex. Why am I going to get on public transportation? Why am I going to go take the train? That doesn't make sense to me. I barely know where I'm going anyway, and then you want me to go get on a train? No. But anyway.
I'll tell you this. You know, if you get on the train, right, the best thing about the train are the little shops and eateries that when you get right off, best hot dogs, best shakes, all of that stuff. I don't know if you eat all of that. That's just maybe for mini husky guys like me.
I'm from LA. I do not eat hot dogs, no pork, no swine. That's how I stay fine. No beef on my teeth, all of that. Ooh, pause. Anyway, next question. So the next question is actually for both of us, and Rob, you're going to start it off. Gabrielle Union was on Arsenio Hall show last night, and she said that she requires a prenup from D-Wade because she needs to protect her stuff. So the people want to know from the Dollinaire, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I'm pro-prenup. You know, I'm like Kanye, you know, everybody should get a prenup. I think whatever you came into the situation with, you should be able, you know, to keep. So if she had $300 and then Wade had $30 million, you know, that's the way it should go if they end up. Now, the thing about it is, you know, like I kind of said in my article, you know, I assume she has money. I mean, she works a lot. She has, you know, TV shows and movies and stuff like that. So maybe she does want to protect her assets. Maybe she does want to protect her assets against, you know, Wade's baby mama. Because if the assets are being pooled together and, you know, lawsuits and child support and daycare and all of that stuff, maybe she doesn't want that coming out of her pockets, you know. So, I commend Gabby, you know, for not hiding in the shadows. You know, she talks a lot about relationships and her and D. Wade as if, you know, the break baby, you know, never happened. The ex-wife, you know, never happened. So, you know, hey, I commend her. You know, a lot of women would shy away from the public, and she's out there, and she just, you know, she just be reckless, but she's speaking her mind.
Hey. I believe in prenup too. Like she said, you have to protect her stuff, your stuff. She also pointed out she's never seen D. Wade balance a checkbook. She has a home out here, you know, in Los Angeles. She, you know, might want to keep that home should something happen. And like you said, he has an ex-wife. I personally think part of that shot when she said, you know, because I have my own stuff, was about the women who maybe don't have their own stuff when they come into these situations. And, you know, she's saying that she has something. She's bringing something to the table other than her good looks and stellar personality.
I have nothing. So, you know, so I don't have to worry about these type of problems. But that we have to, you know, gotta know your break's over. You got to get back to work. You got to get back to school. Or if you're like me, you got to get back to shoveling snow because it's -9 degrees here in St. Louis. And once again, it echoes Jill's thoughts. You know, we appreciate everyone that's been watching The Break Room, that's been subscribing, not just on YouTube, but also on iTunes. You know, this will be up on both of our sites, JacksonStilettoJill.com and BlackSportsOnline.com. You will also be able to see the replay. You can watch all of the episodes on our YouTube channel, Enter the Break Room. So, you know, once again, we really appreciate it, and we will be back with you next week. Maybe have a little bit of NBA All-Star talk. You know, I'll be down in New Orleans. Maybe I can get a little bit of an inside scoop of what's going on. So, once again, thank you for watching The Break Room. If you have questions or anything for us, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Stiletto Jill. And for me, it's at BLK Sports Online. You guys have a nice day. For those East Coasters, be careful out there. I know the winter storm is coming.
And for my West Coasters, enjoy the sun. Bye.
That's cold. That's cold, Jill. That's cold-blooded.